Turn your Bibles to Galatians chapter 5. Galatians chapter 5. And we'll continue to look at the fruit of the Spirit here. Last week and tonight, we're dealing with some that are kind of hard to understand the difference about in these fruit of the Spirit. We use the same kind of words. Last time we looked at this gentleness in chapter 5 of Galatians, verse number 22, but the fruit of the Spirit is love, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law. There's liberty in all these. There's freedom in these. There's no end to these, as we've said several times. And last time we looked at gentleness and how it is it was manifested. It's manifested in the Scripture and in our King James Bible. It was also, in many times, is rendered as goodness, the word goodness. And so that might, it is also rendered as kindness, but it is here, it's rendered gentleness, and makes a distinction between this next one, gentleness, goodness. You know, what is the difference between those? And this word goodness is talking about virtue. I mentioned last time how it is with many of the fruit of the Spirit, they are intertwined. And they are kind of woven together, if you will, or they overlap one another. And gave an example last week about a thing we might deal with, and we might deal with a thing well, and we might say be long suffering in it for a bit, and then, you know, take all that we can, and then maybe blow being gentle about it. And we need to stand in the truth. None of these fruit is a compromise for the truth of God's word, but our behavior and this old man, this flesh, you know, is what we need to mortify and get under control. And so, you know, we need to manifest all these all the time and seek to. And we read over in Colossians that it says we need to put them on. We need to add these two and put them on and be in pursuit of them. So when we talk about gentleness that last week was manifested many times as goodness, and then we're talking about this fruit goodness, how is it that we can distinguish between the two? Well, I'll give you the best that I understand it. They are different Greek words, and they are a long way one from another. This goodness here in Galatians chapter 5 verse 22 is talking about virtue. It's talking about that which is coming from one. A goodness. The song that Brother Stephen just led us in, you know, the title of it is Wounded for Me, and we sang the verses, Wounded for Me, Dying for Me, Risen for Me, Living for Me, Coming for Me. The Lord Jesus Christ has been nothing but good to us, hadn't He? He's been good to us. Goodness. And He's good in every way. In Him, there was not even the thought of sin. He is the model and the example of virtue in every respect. He is the example. He is the one that we are to follow. And you know, the Lord Jesus Christ and all these fruit of the Spirit manifested them all perfectly all the time. And He is our example and has left us an example that we need to follow Him in them. Virtue. Well, let's talk a little bit and go to the Scripture. This particular word is only used four times in the Scripture. In 2 Thessalonians, I want you to turn over here, and we kind of get a look-see at it relative to God again. And it's always good to see what the Scripture says about how the Lord manifests these things. And so that we can have that example and maybe have a better understanding about them and be able to put them on in our own lives. Here in this chapter, chapter 1 of 2 Thessalonians, let's read. Verse number 1, Paul and Silvanus and Timotheus under the church of the Thessalonians and God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Grace unto you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. So he's got that greeting to them and he praises the Lord and desires for them to have grace and to have peace ongoing. Verse 3, we're bound to thank God always for you, brethren, as it is meet, as it is suitable, because that your faith groweth exceedingly, and the charity of every one of you all toward each other aboundeth. It's known, it's manifested. They got love one for another. Their faith is growing exceedingly as things that they deal with and things come their way. They have faith in the Lord to help, to deliver, to work in them. It's growing exceedingly. It's being manifested. They've got to love one for another. All toward each other aboundeth. Verse 4, so that we ourselves glory in you in the churches of God. He's telling the other churches about them and the blessing of God in them for your patience and faith in all your persecutions and tribulations that you endure. So Church of Thessalonica has not had a free ride, if you will. They've had things that they've gone through, and their faith in the Lord is abounding, and their love for one another is abounding. They're drawn closer by this. It goes on to say in verse 5, which is a manifest token of the righteous judgment of God, that ye may be counted worthy of the kingdom of God for which ye also suffer. There's the kingdom of God mentioned. It said this is an example, this is a telling, this is a showing of your endurance of these things and this growing of your love one towards another, your faith in the Lord abounding. This is a telling that you are the Lord's. Because as it says, and as the Lord gave the parable of the different kinds of soil, in that second example, or the first example, the second example, and the third example, there's the trial for the sake of the Word of God that comes on those on, what is it on, there's the wayside, and then there's the stony ground, and they don't have root. And one of the accounts in the Gospels is that when persecution because of the Word cometh, they fade away. They faint. Can't handle it when you got to stand in the truth of what God says. And so it's he's saying here, he says, this is a manifest token, verse 5, of the righteous judgment of God, that you may be counted worthy of the kingdom of God for which ye also suffer. Your suffering, your endurance in these things is a manifestation of that. That's where the manifestation of the fruit of the Spirit in us testifies that we are the Lord's. And we're a witness of impossible things amongst men. Seeing, verse number 6, seeing it is a righteous thing with God to recompense tribulation to them that trouble you. That's interesting, isn't it? He does tell that there will be a recompense for how they've been treated wrongfully. Well, soon? Now? In their lifetime? Well, no promise of that. And to you who are troubled, rest with us when the Lord Jesus shall be revealed from heaven with His mighty angels. He gives them no expectation of the recompense and the wrathful judgment of God on those that have troubled them. He gives them no indication and even no hope or promise that they'll see it in their lifetime. But God will do it. God will do it. He says, and you who are troubled, verse 7, rest with us when the Lord Jesus shall be revealed from heaven with His mighty angels in flaming fire, taking vengeance on them that know not God and that obey not the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ, who shall be punished with everlasting destruction from the presence of the Lord and from the glory of His power, when He shall come to be glorified in His saints. That's the hope that we have, isn't it? Seeing our Lord, being glorified with Him, to come to be glorified in His saints and to be admired, I like that word, and to be admired in all them that believe, because our testimony among you believed. We're blessed to repent and to believe, and we are the Lord's. We have been saved by Him. He's going to come. We are going to be glorified with Him. The wicked will be punished. And we will admire and to be admired in all them that believe in that day. Verse 11. Wherefore also we pray always for you that our God would count you worthy of His calling. There's perseverance of the saints to keep on keeping on. And to fulfill all the good pleasure of His goodness. There's that word. The good pleasure of His goodness and the work of faith with power. that the name of our Lord Jesus Christ may be glorified in you, and ye in him, according to the grace of our God and the Lord Jesus Christ." What the Lord is doing in these saved children of God in this church at Thessalonica, it's a testimony of their of salvation in their lives. It's a testimony of the Lord working in them. It's a testimony to the world of this fruit of the Spirit being manifested. It's a testimony of the goodness of God being given and yielded and worked in them in their lives there. Wherefore we, verse 11, "Wherefore also we pray always for you that our God would count you worthy of his calling, perseverance of the saints, keeping on, being faithful unto the end." How do we do that? Well, we need the power of God to be so. We don't have that in the flesh, do we? But it's by the Spirit of God that lives within that we can do so. We're given the avenue of prayer that we can petition our God. And what's the scripture say? We can come boldly to the throne of grace that we might find grace to help in time of need. You hear that? Grace to help in time of need. That we go there and pray to our Lord, praying to him always for that which we need, to ask in the Son's name for that which we need, that we might be found worthy. Worthy in of ourselves? No, we're not talking about the flesh. We're talking about the new man and the faithfulness of the children of God to fulfill all the good pleasure of his goodness. In Ephesians chapter 2, the scripture tells us that it's ordained that the people of God are to walk in good works. We're to walk in good works, aren't we? "For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, is a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. For we are his workmanship," right? He's been working on us. And it's been ordained that we should walk in good works to the honor and glory and praise of our Father. And so the perseverance of the saints is taught there. And it is found here in this statement also. "And the Lord fulfilling all the good pleasure of his goodness." His goodness. Like the song that we sang, Brother Stephen led us in. And the goodness of our Lord having done all that he did for the likes of us. Amen. Take a look over here in Luke chapter 10. Let's take a look at an exhibition of goodness, very much like what the Lord has done for us. In Luke chapter 10, you know the account, and we refer to him as the Good Samaritan. Here in verse number 25, "And behold, a certain lawyer stood up and tempted him," Luke 10, 25, "saying, Master, what shall I do to inherit eternal life? He said unto him, What is written in the law? How readest thou? And he answering said, Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, with all thy strength, with all thy mind, and thy neighbor as thyself. And he said unto him, Thou hast answered right, this do, and thou shalt live. But he, willing to justify himself, said unto Jesus, And who is my neighbor? And Jesus answered, A certain man went down from Jerusalem to Jericho and fell amongst thieves, which stripped him of his raiment and wounded him, and departed, leaving him half dead. And by chance there came down a certain priest that way, and when he saw him, he passed by on the other side." He saw him there in the ditch, saw him there by the side of the road, and he went around him. Why? Because he wasn't going to be defiled with him. "And likewise a Levite, when he was at the place, came and looked on him and passed by on the other side." The Levite went around him too. "But a certain Samaritan, as he journeyed, came where he was, and when he saw him," here, "he had compassion on him." Amen. Goodness, the Lord's had compassion on us. Amen. The treasure and bounty of the Lord, how is he held back in any wise on all that he has from we that he saved? How is God held back? He freely gave his own son. How is he held back? You know, that's what Satan, one thing that Satan and wicked men do is they want to say that God is a killjoy and a Scrooge and one that is just looking to damper and put a damper on the enjoyment and the pleasure and good things of men. Now, God's against sin, but in every way, He's good. He is virtue. Look what He did. The time He took in putting His word together, as we mentioned here recently, and took those men's lives and used them to pin down His word for our sakes. We have a hard time dealing with giving of our life. Amen? And the Lord took lives of our brethren, now that we're saved, to communicate His good word to us. He is good, isn't He? Look at this. He had compassion on him and went to him and bound up his wounds. Look at the verbs. He bound him up. He poured in oil and wine. He set him on his own beast. He brought him to an inn. He took care of him. And on the morrow when he departed, he took out 2 pence and he gave them unto the host and said unto him, take care of him, and whatsoever thou spendest more, when I come again, I will repay thee. He's good, isn't he? He's good. Virtue in every way. This man was not stingy in any way, was he? He ventured himself. He ventured the the soiling of himself to help out a man he didn't even know. A man, because of his condition, estranged from him. The man couldn't reach up and grab a hold of the man and even cause himself to be drug along. He had been beaten and left for dead. That's a shape we were in, huh? Yeah. And if you're here and you're not saved, that's a shape you're in. You're dead. And you need a Savior. And the Lord goes on to say here, now which of these three thinkest thou was neighbor unto him? And I know that's the context of the passage that fell amongst the thieves. He says, which one was neighbor? And he said, he that showed mercy. The one that the Lord is dealing with there, and of course the others around, they're listening, the lawyer that's there, he wouldn't even say, well, the Samaritan was. He wouldn't say it. But he said, and the Lord works in marvelous, wonderful ways. But the answer of the lawyer, in that he resisted to even say that the Samaritan showed or was neighbor to the man that was left for dead. He wouldn't say who he was, because that's how the Lord referred to him, right? A certain Samaritan. This man didn't refer to him as Samaritan, but even out of this lawyer's mouth, the goodness of God is revealed, because he says, he that showed mercy on him. Grace is getting that which we do not deserve. And he said, but mercy is not getting, or grace is that being bestowed upon us which we do not deserve. Mercy is not getting that which we do deserve. This man was merciful. The way the Jews had treated the Samaritans and the way they held them in contempt, from the human standpoint, this man would have been justified to leave the man in the ditch. But he wasn't that way, was he? He was merciful. Look, remember what the Lord says about mercy. Look over to Matthew chapter 9. A key thing about the Lord Jesus Christ is those that quarreled with him and about his ministry. And I tell you what, we need to be this way as the people of God, and certainly as the ministers of God. We need to have this mind of the Lord Jesus Christ. In Matthew chapter 9, verse number 10, Matthew 9, verse number 10, and it came to pass as Jesus sat at meat in the house, behold, many publicans and sinners came and sat down with him and his disciples. And when the Pharisees saw it, they said unto his disciples, unto Jesus's, why eateth your master with publicans and sinners? That's mighty nasty. Why is he doing that? And when Jesus heard that, he said unto them, they that be whole need not a physician, but they that are sick. But go ye and learn what that meaneth. I will have mercy and not sacrifice. I want and desire a deep down a soul level benefit to a man or a woman or a boy or a girl, the Lord says. I'm not desirous of lip service. I am desirous of mercy. The Lord has great joy in extending mercy to sinners. Isn't he good? Isn't he good? But go and learn what that meaneth. I will have mercy and not sacrifice, for I'm not come to call the righteous, but I've come to call sinners to repentance. Sin not being let off the hook, but sin rather being borne by the Savior, and the righteousness of the Savior being imputed to the sinner. Is he not good? Is he not good? May the Lord help us that we would have a spirit and an attitude of goodness, virtue like the Lord. Look at this in Matthew chapter 12, another reference here. Matthew chapter 12, and verse number 1. At that time, Jesus went on the Sabbath day. Matthew 12, verse 1. At that time, Jesus went on the Sabbath day through the corn, and his disciples were anhungered, and began to pluck the ears of corn and to eat. But when the Pharisees saw it, they said unto him, Behold, thy disciples do that which is not lawful to do upon the Sabbath day. But he said unto them, Have ye not read what David did when he was anhungered and they that were with him? How that he entered into the house of God and did eat the showbread, which was not lawful for him to eat, neither for them which were with him, but only for the priests? Or have ye not read in the law how that on the Sabbath days the priests in the temple profane the Sabbath and are blameless? Why? What's that talking about? They obey the law by doing all that work of killing the sacrifices and offering the sacrifices. Those priests that are dealing with the sacrifices, that they are working hard. But why do they do it? Because it's been commanded of God. And they're a priest. And why is it that the other people are not to go out and tend to their field and tend to their flocks and do all the other stuff that they do the other 6 days of the week? Why? Because God's ordained it not to be. And yet the priests work. Or a male child, that the day of their circumcision falls on the Sabbath day, they bring them that day on the Sabbath day and go ahead and circumcise the child. Why? God's commanded it. He says, and the priests in the temple profane the Sabbath and are blameless. Why? God's ordained it for them to do that work. But I say unto you that in this place is one greater than the temple. But if ye had known what this meaneth, I will have mercy and not sacrifice, ye would not have condemned the guiltless. These men, by taking this corn as we walked on the way, I've told them to do it. I've okayed it for them to do it. They're doing it. Why? They're hungry. They're hungry. And I'm here with them. And part of the issue here is the Lord's dealing with them, that He is God. But if you had known what this meaneth, I will have mercy and not sacrifice, ye would not have condemned the guiltless. For the Son of Man is Lord even of the Sabbath day. He's dealing with them about His deity. But the basis of His operation is that He desires mercy and not sacrifice. They're all caught up in the Sabbath day and these guys taking corn and rubbing it in their hands so they can eat. They're not stocking it up for 4 days to come. They got the Lord there with them and He's no doubt doing it with them. They have a need. They're hungry. They have a need. And I'm the Lord. I created the Sabbath day for man. And I'm interested in being merciful and not just having lip service or man's religion extracted from the Word of God. David wasn't faulted for taking the showbread, was he? Why? They were hungry. And it was Abithar, I believe it was, that had it there. And he said, this is all we've got. And David went ahead and took it, and they ate it. And there was no condemnation of the Lord in that. Is that a license for us to sin and disobey the Word of God? No, it's not. It's not. That's not what it is about. It's about if there is a need, God knows the need. God knows the pressure. Let us not assume against the commandment of the Lord. The Lord's good, isn't He? He's merciful. If you're hungry and it's there, He wants you to eat it. Now, does He want us going out and working on the Lord's day? No, that's not what it's about. Mercy and not sacrifice. The Lord is good, and His goodness is exhibited to us, we've seen. Turn over to Romans chapter 15. And we see here how it is, and that goodness we saw over there at the church in Thessalonica was manifested in them too, the working of the Lord in them. They had a love one for another, had a care and for one for another, and a faith towards God. Here in Romans chapter 15, look here at verse number 1. Romans 15, verse 1. We then that are strong ought to bear the infirmities of the weak. You know what? There's a lot of ways to be weak. It's not just talking about muscle power. It's not just talking about finances. It's not just talking about understanding of the Word of God. It's not just talking about, I mean, it is talking about these things. I'm beginning to list some off. It is talking about our commitment and our zeal to the Lord. We can be weak in that. We need to be strong in that. There's a lot of ways to be weak. We then that are strong ought to bear the infirmities of the weak and not to please ourselves. Let every one of us please his neighbor for his good to edification. And this word here, good, is that from which the word goodness is taken from. For even Christ pleased not himself, because if he had, he sure wouldn't have become a man. He wouldn't have endured being a man. And he wouldn't have endured going to the cross. But for the joy of redeeming us that was set before him, he did so. For even Christ pleased not himself, but as it is written, the reproaches of them that reproached thee fell on me. He took our shame. He took our sin, didn't he? For whatsoever things were written aforetime were written for our learning, that we through patience and comfort of the Scriptures might have hope. The things written and the things that the Lord Jesus Christ has done and those things that He's promised yet. Now the God of patience and consolation grant you to be like-minded. As Christ was minded towards us, let us be like-minded one toward another according to Christ Jesus, that you may be with one mind and one mouth glorify God, even the Father, our Lord Jesus Christ, by being like-minded with Him, like the Lord Jesus Christ. His pursuit, to have a desire for our neighbor, for our brother and sister in Christ. Wherefore receive ye one another, as Christ also received us, to the glory of God. Now I say that Jesus Christ was a minister of the circumcision for the truth of God, to confirm the promises made unto the fathers, or the Jews, and that the Gentiles might glorify God for His mercy, as it is written, for this cause I will confess thee among the Gentiles and sing unto thy name. And again he saith, rejoice ye Gentiles with his people. And again, praise the Lord all ye Gentiles and laud him all ye people. And again Isaiah saith, there shall be a root of Jesse, and he that shall rise to reign over the Gentiles, and him shall the Gentiles trust. He's been good, hadn't he? There amongst the Lord's nation and his people, as he saved and as he purposed to save, he didn't just have a mind that was, well, I'm just going to keep it amongst this nation. But he was good. He was good in that he has and will save from all mankind, all nations, all tribes, all peoples. Now listen to this, verse 13. Now the God of hope fill you with all joy. We've looked at that fruit, and peace, and believing. That's how it's going to be in our faith in the Lord, that what He says is true, that you might abound in hope. How is it that we have hope? That's one consideration that I've seen in this, hope not being listed as a fruit of the Spirit, but hope is listed there in 1 Corinthians chapter 13. How is it that we have hope? It's in the promises of God, isn't it? And he's been good in giving us those promises, hadn't he? And we have hope that they will come to pass because we have faith and confidence and assurance in him. Isn't he good to us? Not only having saved us, adopted us, making us his own, providing for us here, but doing all that. And that which is to come. He's good to us. Now the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing that you may abound in hope through the power of the Holy Ghost, Spirit of God living within. And I myself also am persuaded of you, my brethren, that ye also are full of goodness. Same word over in Galatians chapter 5. Goodness, virtue, faith in the Lord, faith in His promises, faith in His Word, desirous of our brethren, desirous of the sinner, to be like Christ was, generous and good and kind. There we go. We take off trying to describe good. You can't help but get into those other fruit, can you? As a Samaritan was, he helped his neighbor. And I myself am also persuaded of you, my brethren, that you also are full of goodness, filled with all knowledge, able also to admonish one another. We're not just talking about good works. You know, a lost man might go along and help a man in a ditch. But why? We, as the children of God, do so to love our neighbor. Why? Because the Lord's commanded us to. There's a blessing in it. A man not saved would do so, maybe accomplish the same thing, but not to the honor and glory and praise of God. The man or the woman that's saved by the Lord and would do so would thank God for the opportunity and know that that's a blessing in the work of God extended to that person, to that sinner, or maybe even that saint, depending on what it is, to the honor and glory and praise of God. But the one that's without Christ, the one that's not saved that would do so, might accomplish the same thing, but only for themselves. No attributing it to Christ. No attributing it to the blessing of the Lord. Filled with all knowledge, able also to admonish one another. To admonish one another, to help one another. You know, these two verses are our work, brothers and sisters. Fill you with all joy and peace in believing that you may abound in hope through the power of the Holy Ghost. You hear that? And I myself also am persuaded of you, my brethren, that you're also full of goodness, filled with all knowledge, able also to admonish one another. This is our work. This is that teaching to observe all things. Virtue and goodness. You know, this is the same book that says this over in Romans chapter 12, verse number 21. Look over here, just a page over. Listen to what it says. Be not overcome of evil, but overcome evil with good. We're not to snap back, bite back. We're not to rail back when railed upon. We're to overcome evil with good. Not be overcome with evil. You know, sometimes that's very hard. Sometimes that which is wrong and that which is false and that which is against the Word of God will come at us. We can succumb to it. But we don't need to be overcome with evil. We need to overcome evil with good. In Ephesians chapter 5, goodness. Once again, our Lord is the example. It is virtue. It can be described many ways. We need to be filled with it. We need to manifest it. We need to be the children of our Lord and Savior. Verse number 6 of Ephesians chapter 5. Let no man deceive you with vain words, for because of these things cometh the wrath of God upon the children of disobedience, the works of the flesh. Be not ye therefore partakers with them. Don't go there. The Lord saved us from that. For you were sometimes darkness, but now are ye light in the Lord. Walk as children of the light, For the fruit of the Spirit is in all goodness. The fruit of the Spirit is in all goodness. It's like goodness is a catch-all that describes many things. It's from goodness, from virtue, those other fruits are described. That's what this is saying. For the fruit of the Spirit is in all goodness. For the fruit of the Spirit is in all righteousness. For the fruit of the Spirit is in all truth. You see that? Proving what is acceptable unto the Lord. We need to be acceptable unto the Lord as His children. And we need to be good like He's good. We need to be pleasing. We're not talking about justifying ourselves or making God love us. We're talking about a Heavenly Father that does love us. And don't you want to please Him? Don't you want Him to smile upon you? Don't you want Him to say unto you, what? At the end of all this? Well done. What? Well done, thou good and faithful servant. Amen. Amen. May the Lord help us to be like the Lord Jesus Christ. If you're here and you're not saved, you're not good. But the Lord has been good in telling you the truth, that you're a sinner and you need a Savior, and He's the only one. You need to repent of your sins and trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. Believe in Him. Brother Jim, how do I believe? You just trust in Jesus. Just lay it all with Him. Amen. What you want, you ask Him for. You desire to understand, you ask Him to help you understand. You desire to believe, you ask Him to help you and cause you to believe. Whatever it is that you desire, you go to Him with it. He's right there. He's not up here. He's not back there or out back in the missions quarters. He's right there. Go to Him. Go to Him with your care, your sin, your fear. Go to Him with everything you need. Repent of your sins and believe in Him.